For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms. Well, everybody, I'm excited to welcome to the podcast Aaron and Jordan. They are the co-hosts and founders of Breaking Formation, a podcast. These ladies are former Gold Rush cheerleaders and just recently launched a podcast covering all sorts of topics. And I'm really excited to have you both here today. Welcome.
Yay. Excited to be on. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
No, I love that we've been able to do like an episode swap. Like, I think it's the first official episode swap for the podcast. I really appreciated you guys asking me to be on your show. And so this is great to actually have you guys here and to get to know you and to tell everybody about your podcast. So you guys ready to get going?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's distinguish voices. So Aaron, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself first, and then we'll go to Jordan.
All right. So hello, everyone. My name is Aaron. I was a 49ers Gold Rush cheerleader for 4 seasons. Closed it out in, we always get confused because it's 2019 football season, but we finished in 2020 because, you know, that was the year we made it to the bowl. And so it kind of did like an overlap, and then, you know, the whole world shut down and the 2020 season was a little sad, but yeah, so we both had our last season. Last game was at Super Bowl, and it's like I forget how to do a podcast right now. We take like 3 weeks off, and I don't know what to say.
Okay, real easy breezy here. We're just gonna let it go. I know it's so awkward with us both being on the other end, so
yeah,
we'll just keep it together.
So since retiring from Gold Rush, Jordan and I started the Breaking Formation podcast as kind of a quarantine project. And since then, I have recently moved back home to Redondo Beach and am expecting my first baby coming in about a month now. So we're at the 1 month countdown. So he's due on 4th of July. So that's a little bit about me.
That's super exciting. And what about you, Jordan?
Yeah, so I, you know, like Aaron said, cheered on the Gold Rush. So my first year was 2015 and then wrapped it up at the Super Bowl 2020. So I did 5 seasons. It was, just an awesome experience. And we both knew that, you know, we had so many years that we put into this that we were like, what can we do and still stay a part of this industry? And so we were like, we love to talk and we love to have conversations with people. And so we were like, well, let's just start a podcast. It's the closest thing to a TV show. And so for Breaking Formation kind of happened. And it's been a really awesome ride. We just wrapped up our first season. And so, we're really excited.
Yeah. Well, no, I was really excited when I saw you. I don't know if it was the Instagram pop-up or what have you, but it's exciting to have more podcasts in this space and just listening. It's just nice to, I wasn't super into podcasts before we started the Pro Cheerleading podcast, but I would listen to other podcasts about this space. You know what I mean? So it's just like different perspectives. And I just think we're all such unique and wonderful individuals, like on and off the court or the field or whatever. So it's just nice to hear all the different stories. I want to get into you guys' experience as part of Gold Rush and a little bit more. What made you audition for Gold Rush? Were you both in that area? And yeah, I just have Gold Rush questions in terms of like how you would describe the program. Right now, I feel like Gold Rush is a little mysterious, like, you know, program at the moment. And so I want to know what kind of attracted you to the team, because I think of it as one of the iconic NFL cheerleading teams for sure. And so just want to hear about your journey in making that team.
Yeah, I mean, I actually grew up in Northern California in Petaluma, which is just north of San Francisco. I actually just moved to San Francisco last week. So now I'm actually living in the city. I've never lived here before, but, you know, I was from the Bay Area. Niners, my parents were season ticket holders. They've always been Warriors, and Giants, baseball, just, you know, all the Bay Area sports teams. And so I grew up dancing, and I remember there was a point where I kind of thought about auditioning for Warriors, and then was just kind of like, you know, just a quick thought. And then a couple years later, I was just watching a football game, a Niners game, and my older sister, her best friend, had actually auditioned for Gold Rush quite a few years before that and made finals. And she was sitting there and she was like, Jordan, you should audition for Gold Rush. And I remember, because I think a cheerleader had came on the screen, and I was like, there's no way I could ever do that. You are crazy. I never know. And I think that day I kind of started just thinking about it more and more. And for anyone that knows me, I'm just like one of those people, just all or nothing. Once I'm like, have my mindset on something, I am researching the team. I am, you know, just putting my all into it. And so from then on, I kind of just made it a goal. And I think that was like in September of 2014. And then I auditioned the following year in probably March, you know, in the spring, and I made it. And that was kind of my path.
Okay. What about you, Erin?
My origin story is a little different, just because I grew up in Los Angeles County, the South Bay. And once I danced my whole life. I started with ballet, and then I did the competitive team at my high school that I was a member of for 4 years. And going from high school to college, I knew I was going to go to Sonoma State, which was in Sonoma County, Northern California. And I had already locked in a spot on the Sonoma State Sapphires dance team, where I competed with them for 4 years. And I think the first kind of little inkling I had of wanting to do professional cheerleading / dancing definitely came around the time where I had committed to Sonoma State, because I just knew like I wanted to fulfill like a professional dance career in some capacity. And, you know, once you're out of the ballet track, like there's only so many options you have. And, you know, I really at that point wanted to get out of LA, which is kind of funny because, you know, there's so much dance opportunity over here, but I was just so over it and just wanted to experience something different. And so I just kind of started looking into what sports teams were up there. And so Gold Rush was definitely in the back of my mind during college while I was competing with the Sapphires. And I auditioned just kind of like as a dip my toes in situation, my junior year of college. Yeah. And just to kind of get a feel for it. And I had no idea what to expect. And I look back at pictures of myself at that audition, and I'm like, how did that girl make finals? I don't know her. you know, I was just so fresh. I didn't end up making the team that year, which, you know, I've talked on our podcast before about how it was a blessing in disguise. And I learned a lot through that experience. And also it allowed me to, you know, finish out my college years with the Sapphires. And we ended up winning nationals my senior year. So that was a really cool way to close it out. Yeah. And, you know, I like to say that, you know, it was meant to happen that way. And I went back very, I guess I had auditioned right before graduating college, made the team that spring. It was like the craziest spring of my life, because we had started Gold Rush rehearsals, and I was in the like last like dance show, like close out end of the year show for my dance team, and I was graduating. So there was just like so much happening at that point. Yeah. But somehow, you know, we made
let the crazy begin.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
it. Probably doesn't get much calmer than that after you make the team, for sure. So then you guys were, you started at different times on the team. How did you gravitate towards each other? I love, I've Insta stalked you obviously, but all these amazing pictures of you guys together. So I want to hear the best friend story. Like, how did you guys, you know, come into this friendship that you have?
Well, I feel like there's so many, like you asked that question and there was like so many memories that just popped up into my head at once. It's funny because, you know, our first year together was 2016. You were living in San Francisco at the time, right? Or were you still in Rohnert Park?
Yeah. So I had just moved to the city. Like by the time like football season was going, I was in San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was still living back at home. And then we both moved to San Jose, which is Silicon Valley area. And so that's actually where the Niners Levi's Stadium is. We both moved super close to each other and we kind of just needed, you know, some friends in the area. I mean, we obviously were on the team together. It wasn't until that 2017 where we just started hanging out a bunch. And I feel like from then on, it was kind of just like, why weren't we friends, just like, or why weren't we this close before?
Yeah, it just worked. And I mean, the funny story that Jordan hates is we did meet at prelims, like the first year we tried out, which was 2015, which was Jordan's first year making the team and my first year auditioning, and like just kind of like introduced ourselves like in line. And I just remember Jordan because I don't know, like she just is like a really bubbly, outgoing personality. And you know, I also am like a really shy person. And so she was one of like five people I talked to at that audition. And I think I was one of like 50 she probably talked to. So it's like, it's funny because on our show, she's like, you made me sound like so mean because I don't remember you. I feel like your memory's been jogged since we've brought it up, right? Like,
yeah,
and we also have
together.
I was gonna say, we have that picture of us at finals where we're like sitting right next to each other. Like, and it was like a good 3 years before we were actually like friends. So
friends, yeah.
So it's kind of funny how all of that but plays out.
There is a moment that you don't remember. And so our first year mini camp, we have a mini camp every year. I'm sure every team is different, but it's like the football team. We get together for a whole weekend and it's just filled with seminars and just getting to know everyone. And we actually sat next to each other her first year at her dinner, the welcome dinner. And she didn't remember that. So I have that on her.
Yeah, that's true. And like, see, I wouldn't have thought of that because I still like, it's not something that like I think of at first. But
do you find that like your memories of your time together cheering, it's just all turning into like one big blob versus like distinct memories? Like, I don't know if I need to like go through my treasure chest or something and kind of like jog my memory of all those different things that we've done, but it's all just kind of blending together year to year. I don't know if it's the same for you guys.
Well, I feel like I recently heard someone explaining, I think it was an alumni explaining, like, you're gonna forget what, you know, the locker room looks like, you're gonna forget like just all the different memories. And I'm like, gosh, I hope that doesn't happen. But I feel like because it's so fresh for us, like, I mean, they didn't even have a team last year. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Erin?
I feel like it's definitely becoming a little more blurry. And like, I think, you know, because we went out on such like a
super high note.
High note than a little bit of sadness, but like those playoff games and like those moments in the locker room where we're just like, we're winning and we're a good team. And like, you know, just like that whole like excitement, like, I guess that's easy to remember. I think the things that blur together a little bit are like my first 3 years where it was kind of a similar story and pattern and all of that. But I also think, you know, as much as I'm like, oh, I wish I took more pictures, I wish I documented more, I think like Snapchat memories and all the photos we do have like definitely help like compartmentalize and like kind of make me remember like, oh yeah, like that was the game where this happened, or that was the crazy like weather moment. And yeah, so
I was just going to say, Erin is the best at capturing memories. Like,
memories,
she's just so on it all the time. And yeah, she's, that's like her, one of her like specialties is just capturing memories. So
that's awesome.
Just random videos. Like, she's just good at capturing like just little clips at the right moment.
Yeah. I was team historian, I think, for like 3 years. Maybe it was two. It was kind of a lot of years. So,
oh my God, tell me about that. That's actually warms my heart because so many team stories are changing. To think of like capturing the history for each squad, it sounds really awesome.
Yeah, just like with the other positions on the team, like, I mean, captains and or assistant captains are a little bit different because they're obviously a bit higher responsibility titles. But mm-hmm. I think we all vote for like team historian and what were the other positions, Jordan? I'm like forgetting. Like it was like workout assistant. Yeah.
PR.
Also, you guys would do your social media too?
Yeah. So I think the PR and historian were kind of intertwined. Yeah. And the majority of my job was, you know, obviously capturing like moments of the whole team, but also being in charge of collecting photos and things like that for different like holidays and things to post on the social media, and as well as like gathering everything for the end of the year banquet, big
montage of pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Montage. Yeah.
Like I said, when I think of Gold Rush, I think of, you know, like super iconic with the uniforms, you know, a long history, speaking of historians, like how would you guys describe, like compared to the other NFL squads, like how would you describe like the vibe, the spirit, the style, if you will, of Gold Rush?
I mean, that's a good question, because I think even the years that we were on the team, I feel like it changed a lot in terms of like the dance style. We kind of were a little hip-hoppy 1 year, and then we were kind of more jazz, and then I feel like it kind of started to get a little bit more hip-hop in terms of the dance style.
I think because so many teams are changing, and I'm thinking of the ones that really stick out as iconic, like I was trying to think of like how would I describe the vibe of Gold Rush, but I thought it would be better coming, like I can describe the vibe of Seagulls back when, it was 50 million years ago. And of course, it's changed now, but I was just curious what you guys would say is like the actual true style and spirit of Gold Rush.
I think that a big part of that too, probably just from an outsider's perspective looking into Gold Rush. So basically, a lot of people don't know, but we're not, when you are on Gold Rush, you're not hired directly through the 49ers. You're hired through E2K Events Times Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that organization was founded by the Olmsteads. And it stayed in the family since the beginning of time. So I think that a big reason as to why it's kind of remained so consistent, and just it's almost like Gold Rush is what it is because of the Olmsteads. And I think it stayed that way because of the Olmsteads, and it's, you know,
deep my roots.
First couple years, yeah. They know who they are, and they know how they want the team to be run, and so I think like a large part to do with it.
Well, and yeah. I think also what's really cool, and I don't know if it's unique, I feel like a lot of teams I've seen have like something similar, but we are very connected to alumni, and you know, at any given game day there's alumni helping back, you know, I want to say backstage or whatever the equivalent of backstage at a football game would be, but kind of like behind the scenes, and as well as like, you know, they call on the alumni to do separate appearances where like if the active Gold Rush members are at a game or doing something, they're able to help out. And, you know, we actually were lucky enough to have the 35th anniversary of Gold Rush happen.
Yeah.
While we were on the team. And so that was really awesome, seeing like all of the different decades come together. And, you know, it was just like one big reunion. And, you know, also, I mean, each of our coaches were alumni. So we saw them like doing their thing with their former teammates. Mm-hmm. And it's such like a strong sisterhood, and it does span across those generations. And the first director of Gold Rush was this woman named Lori, and she was the director of, I think, what was the inaugural team? It was 1982 of official Gold Rush, and her daughter Haley was our teammate for 3 years. So yeah, so she cheered with us. And so that was another like little connection we had to like the history of this program, and just kind of like made us feel a little more connected to this big legacy that is Gold
Rush. E2K is kind of like a big giant family in a sense. Mm-hmm. And another thing about it too that's really cool, I think, is that we get to work all these different events outside of just Gold Rush. So when you're on the team, you're getting reached out to like you would for a normal appearance. Like, hey, we need some extra support for this women's event or like Pixar or just really cool events that like in any other world you would have probably never really had the opportunity to participate in. And for me, I was going through college throughout my whole experience. So it was a really, really good experience to put on my resume. You know, I've done this and helped out as an event assistant, you know, just having all these professional experiences working in this event industry, entertainment.
Yeah. Because they do so many different events. I mean, like to your point, like I didn't realize they open up those opportunities to the dancers. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And really it's cool. Also to meet other alumni too and form these other relationships with people that were on Gold Rush or, you know, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, it's pretty cool.
And they also do Pro Bowl too. They produce Pro Bowl every year for the cheer
on.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and that's another way that like they kind of get there, because I feel like
they are just,
especially on our show too, on Breaking Formation, it's like we have discovered like weird little connections here and there, like from like our team to like teams across the country, and I think it's like that common thread of E2K and the people that are all involved in that.
Because they do the international events too, right? The international NFL games and
The
list goes on and on. So the circle is going to be pretty small in terms of people coming into contact with E2K. Well, that's cool, because I don't know. I almost wish it wasn't just like those big milestones, like 35 years or whatever. I wish they almost had like an annual reunion. Maybe some teams do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it would be a reminder that these teams that are changing, that they're part of something bigger and larger, and just, you know, just a thought, but I'm feeling nostalgic today. I don't know.
And it's interesting too, because I do feel like overall Gold Rush has remained pretty consistent in regards to style and uniform and just overall air of the team. But I'm not sure if it was just the fact that last year was such a unique year in that, you know, they had a very limited space to work with. But we did see a few changes happen where they stopped wearing heels, like heeled boots, which was huge. Yeah. Like they switched to more of like a sporty, like sneaker shoe. And then they
the sneaker shoes.
I know, because we have our dressy uniform and our sporty uniform for any given game day. And we only saw them wear the sporty uniform. And so I don't know if that's like in something that's going to stick and stay. For me, I've always been partial to the dressy uniform, even though, you know, a lot of people thought it was a little more uncomfortable, but I do feel like it's that more classic silhouette. And, you know, they got the cute cowboy boots that I think they brought in with Levi's Stadium, but I don't know. It's kind of, I mean, every team evolves and kind of tries to get with the current trends that are going
times.
On. So we'll see. Yeah. I don't know if it's like, I hope it's not like a, we're never going to have like a dressy something ever again. But
true. You know what it makes me think of? It's almost like when there's a Pro Bowl again, and, you know, when you think of seeing all of the different cheerleaders together, like on the photo card and, you know, or at appearances. And I'm just imagining this sporty spice, like athletic gym. I don't know. We just went live the other day and I know people were talking about uniforms, but just how it's just kind of like this run of the mill athletic wear where you almost look like you're kind of going to the gym. And so the one thing I will say, being in person at Pro Bowl, it's super, it's the uniforms, seeing all the different uniforms, the palms, the colors, like all those things. And so if it ends up being like everybody in a sports bra and a leggings, it's going to look so weird. Right. Anyway, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, I can understand that. Everyone's team has their own little flair, and
I understand that.
And I think the sneakers, I think from what I heard, is that it was because they were dancing on concrete. But I will say I had back issues, and I would have loved those sneakers as much as I love the white boots. But my back would have loved those cute little red sneakers.
Yeah. Well, no, I can relate to that because I mean, I'm acting like I just was all team go-go boots, but our boots were so freaking cheap. Like it was not a pleasure to wear them the whole entire game. Yeah. So when we changed into our sporty look second half, it was definitely welcome to be in the tennis shoes because, you know, if they were better boots, then maybe you can just rock them all day long from the minute you get to the stadium pretty much until the end. But
there's got to be like an orthopedic dancer boot option out there. Like, well, this is 2021. Like, they can figure that out.
Maybe we need to invent our own.
Ooh, is this our business model? Okay, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Episode. Yeah, like, just because, like, yeah, get a little support, get a little memory foam action. Like, no. It might be hard. Like,
yeah.
It could work. And where it works on turf and, you know, all of those great things, that would be nice too.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. It makes me think of one episode. We're meeting with the Winterhawks in Portland, and their coach basically designed their dance shoes by putting spikes in them, like what you wear for track, so that they can just literally walk onto the ice and dance on the ice, like grinding. It might be one of us that creates the right kind of shoe, you know, that you want to be able to dance in.
Yeah. We're the people to do it, I think.
I think so. So much power in our sphere. But well, let's see. So you guys kind of touched on a little bit the inspiration behind Breaking Formation. You just wrapped your first season. What were some of the things that you really enjoyed the most about taking on the role of being a podcaster? Because I know I don't know if it was like that for you, but it was very new for me and Brittany when we started. And just tell me the journey of from when you started and kind of like some of the things that you gained along the way.
I think, I mean, so like Jordan said a little bit earlier, we've always kind of joked around that, you know, we talk so much, like we think we're so funny, but we also have all this knowledge about like this whole like crazy experience and industry that's such a small little bubble. And like, how do we kind of stay connected to this world that, you know, we were both done kind of being like active members in, but like, as far as like identity, which we do talk about on the show, it's such a hard thing to disconnect from. And I think another reason, like aside from both of us having extra time being quarantined and just saying like, what do we do with all this time that we have, is that like, in conversations with people that were outside of the industry, I would find myself kind of getting like a little revved up, a little frustrated. Like, let me actually expose like all of the positives of this thing that people I think have like associate so many negative stereotypes with, because it's like people have questions and then when I answer them with things that are surprising, they're like, what? No way. And like, what? That's so like, why don't they talk about this more? And what I'm really referring to is just like the fact that it's not necessarily someone's only career, right? It's like we're cheering with nurses, with teachers, with mothers, with doctors, like with all of these like multifaceted, well-rounded individuals. And most people have no idea that that's what's going on. And I think we said it a few different times, but it's like that was really the true inspiration behind Breaking Formation. It's not us like breaking out of this box that we were placed in. It's us kind of exposing that cheerleaders are already doing that. It's like, this is how any given individual cheerleader on a team is breaking formation already in their everyday life, and just kind of giving a platform and a public space for that to be discussed. And I think the best thing about it is us kind of connecting with other teams, because, you know, we had so much of that diversity on our team that, you know, we both only cheered for Gold Rush. And so we're like, oh my gosh, like, how big is this platform, or like how many different stories can we tell, I guess, was really the motivation for it.
Yeah. Well, that's like the exciting part, because I mean, you can kind of never get tired. I mean, there's interviews and of, you know, and the conversation that you can have just the two of you, but just the thought that like everybody has such a unique background that does this. And so, yeah, it's like an endless supply of topics, frankly, or at least subjects, for lack of a better word.
Something that I really enjoyed was kind of comparing the experiences too, and hearing everyone's stories and being like, I know that there was one episode that we interviewed Nicolette and Alicia, who are two former Patriots cheerleaders, and they are like we titled the episode Two Palms in a Pod because they joke around that the people would say they're
two peas in a pod.
Yeah, two peas in a pod. Aaron and I were like, you guys are us in Patriots form. Like, it was just fun just to hear everyone's stories and how they like intertwine and just how connected we all are. And another thing that I also really enjoyed was creating this platform for people who want to make a team so bad and kind of feel lost. Because I know when I thought about auditioning, Of course, the first thing I did was Googled, like, how to become an NFL cheerleader. And we kind of talked about it on one of our episodes. The answers and the things that come up are not the greatest. And they're the farthest from the truth. I remember I talk about it in one of the episodes. I read something about a jiggle test. And never once on the Gold Rush did I ever have to do a jiggle test. But it's like, you just don't have that information out there. And for people that do want to make a team, something I really enjoyed was kind of almost being like a mentor for these people that have been either, you know, they're just now auditioning for the first time, or they've been auditioning for 5 years and they kind of are feeling defeated. And they're like, I just want to make this team. Like, this is all I want. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And I feel like we kind of got to, there's a couple girls that would write to us, you know, I'm auditioning for Gold Rush, or I'm auditioning for a team. And you guys have really inspired me. So that was really cool. I think and I both really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And I do think that's a perspective that, like, it wasn't that we were not actively trying to like be a source of kind of guidance for people that were wanting to audition, but I don't think we realized like the capacity of which like we were able to help, or are having this platform has helped people going through that process. And I think we also talked about how when you're in that position, especially if you've auditioned a few different times and you see the women that are on the team for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, they feel like unattainable, right? Like they feel like they're so far ahead of where you are. And we kind of give a little bit of a personal connection to this process, and also just kind of like our personal experience in a way that, you know, you might not get unless you were on a team and befriended a veteran and were able to talk with them through that process. And so I think that's also something that I think we're both really proud of, is just being able to be real and genuine and make people feel like they have some people supporting them.
Yeah, like in their corner with this process. It's so intimidating. I know social media makes it a little bit easier for people to boldly like DM somebody out of nowhere and just say like, you know, hey, I'm thinking of auditioning, but it is super intimidating to even do that. And so, you know, having a platform like yours where you're welcoming and people are kind of getting to know you through your stories and stuff, I think it creates that relationship where people can reach out and just feel connected, because you're right, this industry, like I always think of like, wow, if all of this had been going on when I was auditioning the four times before I made it, how I would have navigated it. Because I know that there are a lot more audition prep companies. I get that social media is so different from what it used to be. But I think I would be overwhelmed. Like, frankly, I do not think I would have just been like, I'm going to Insta-stalk all the people who are on the team and then just randomly reach out to one of them and ask them for tips on how to, like, I don't know that I would have, I probably would have shrank a little or just felt, like you said, a little lost, and would have definitely wished that I knew somebody on the team or something that would have given me a little bit more of a lighted path, so to speak.
Definitely.
Well, no, this is really great. So you guys did how many episodes to wrap up your first full season?
25.
That is so awesome.
A strong number.
Yes. Yeah. 25, all those numbers with a 10 or like a 0 or a 5.
Like, solid.
You're good to go. Any standout moments that come to mind for you guys of like either favorite episodes? You don't have to say mine. I mean, you know, but just any moments that really highlight the whole experience for you?
So tough. Honestly, every single episode, and I'm not just saying that, but I feel like there were just little things that like I either took away or we took away, or, you know, just moments that we enjoyed.
I mean, at every episode, it was like there was a moment where we just like got like so fired up. It's like, because we have this shared experience. It made it so easy to initiate and have natural conversations, and then also feel like we were all friends by the end of each episode. So
yeah,
they all definitely have their own, just, you know,
special place.
Exactly. Yeah. Like every individual brought something different. And I think, you know, like we mentioned before, like Nicola and Alicia from the Patriots, it was like meeting ourselves in an alternate universe. Yes. And like, you know, and then there was Marissa from the Pro Dance League.
The Dance League, yeah.
Yeah. She had like such a different path, but we were still able to connect on so many, mm-hmm. you know, goals of ours with our separate projects, and, you know, how we all kind of come together on wanting to just have more representation in this space for the women on these teams. And mm-hmm. I mean, and then there was, you know, our earlier interviews with Natalie and Bria, our former teammates, which I feel like we got so real, and we talked about so much that was just great content. And it's like, I didn't even, it's like, I love these people and I know I can talk to them, but then like, it just turned into something like so much better than we even imagined. So it's been a really fun ride.
And also to our episode with Lindsay Rosenberg, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners know too. And I know, you know, Lindsay. I mean, obviously we've shot with her millions of times and, you know, worked different E2K events with her, but sitting down with her and interviewing her on our show was pretty cool. And, you know, she's just
so magical. Like, she's just so freaking magical.
With her, I'm like, I just want to hang out with you all day.
I know.
Or a day in the life, right? Like, when I did my shoot with her, I kind of was just like secretly hoping she wouldn't kick me out and leave, or, you know, where I'd have to leave. We hung out for a couple hours after, but I just felt so lucky. Like, you know, just anyway, I can go on and on about Lindsay. Emily did this amazing article about Lindsay Rosenberg. About yes. And she captured it like spot on. I was just like, so you freaking nailed it. Like, just capturing her magic and just how she makes you feel and how she.
Agreed. Was that the Teen Vogue article? Because we did we did talk about that on one of our episodes. And fun fact, Jordan was the cover photo of that article. So
How did I not realize that?
Yeah. She's like the big banner photo.
Like that right now, probably.
It's a different, you know, it was a different vibe. Just a little bit different.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now I'm going to totally go back and look it up, but.
Oh, I was just going to say, I read the article and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then I later found out that she was a Chargers cheerleader, right? Chargers? Was it Chargers or was it
Rams? The author of the article?
Rams.
Emily. Rams. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that makes it even more cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of proves our point that we've talked about on our show, where it's kind of like we have to be the people that are vouching for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what one thing we've learned is, like, you have to be your own advocate, or, like, you know, it takes someone who knows what's really going on mm-hmm. to advocate mm-hmm. for this particular space. And so that's a perfect example.
I think we talked about that actually on Makiba's episode.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
And that's why I love our platforms, because we're just saying it in our own voices and our own way. We're mm-hmm. producers of it. We're, you know, we're the host, so we get to kind of, and it's not even like we're trying to paint us in the only one light. It's just, we are actually really dope behind people and have such amazing backgrounds. So it's really not like trying to put a spin on anything. And I think as long as, like you guys have said, just being raw and real about it. I mean, there are some unsavory type of things that you might experience, but I think we can all say it's made us stronger in a lot of ways. And again, just advocating for the changes that you want to see to make it even better. I mean, I think who better than to make those changes than people who know what they're talking about, who lived it, walked it. I wish we can just get our butts at the table to kind of give some proper insight. I think it would make things a lot smoother. Another question I had for you guys is just, did you learn anything about the pro cheerleading industry or community that you maybe didn't know before starting the podcast?
I guess, like, one point of, you know, realization for me was that, unfortunately, some of the things that are more prevalent in media and, just kind of like news coverage of pro cheer teams are realities for certain teams. And and it was in our episode with Sarah, who cheered for the Cardinals and the Dolphins and the Mavericks. She was all over and had a lot of really good experience to share. And she did have some, you know, more unfortunate circumstances that she came across like while cheering. And so it did kind of just open my eyes and our eyes to, you know, certain realities that, you know, we were fortunate enough to not have to experience firsthand, but, you know, it was good that we were able to provide that space to open the conversation. And, you know, I think that's the only way that we implement change is, you know, talking about it and calling it out and making sure that we're all on the common ground of saying that it's not okay. And, you know, we deserve better. So
that's a good point. Yeah, because I think maybe just all these years of, I'm acting like I've been around for 10 years or something, but just over the past couple years of researching, and like you said, reading those articles and whatnot, I won't even say it's like the point of being desensitized, but to your point, it's like realizing that that's the reality for some people on certain teams. And, you know, even if you didn't quite experience that, it's just like to highlight that it would help if we had some common ground of like what's acceptable and what's not. And I know probably overall, the whole industry has probably gotten better than where it used to be, but it's sad when I think about that. And sometimes you just forget that people, and I would say they're probably to some extent still scarred from what they experienced, like for things that were maybe emotionally, I don't, maybe abusive is a strong word, but definitely not healthy, or just different things they had to experience that I know sticks with you. Like I definitely can relate to realizing that in some of these conversations, like, dang, these people are still dealing with after effects from all of this. What about you, Jordan? Anything that you...
Yeah, I mean, as soon as Aaron started talking about that, I was like, yeah, that's exactly, kind of took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, learning about the different teams is really probably something that stuck out. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, because each team is definitely different, right? So and different. Hearing about the different ways that they're managed is always, I mean, that's why I love talking to the directors, because I'm just like, I mean, of course, it's their take, right? Not one of the dancers, but just hearing their different approaches is like fascinating, because you see that there's a lot of room, you know, for things to be done differently, frankly. So it is eye-opening each and every time.
Yeah. Well, we came into it too, I will say. We came into it knowing like, this is going to be really cool to learn about like how the teams are different. But something I didn't realize was that they are actually very similar too in a lot of ways. And I know that the directors all get together every year. I'm sure they weren't able to do that last year, but I'm just wondering, like, what kind of things they talk about at the directors' conference? I would love to just be a fly on the wall.
Oh,
yeah, seriously.
Same. Well, I know I've heard rumors that they don't talk as much as we would think that they do. They're very, I don't want to say, like, close to the chest, but I just think they share certain things, but it's almost like a little competition a little bit. Like, I don't know. That's what I heard. It's a rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see
that. Like they don't want to give away too many trade secrets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
there's
a little bit
of that. You would think it'd be like Pro Bowl, but I think, yeah, I guess it can't be, because then.
We'll see. And then I think that's a little bit of a different situation, because generally that is those women's careers, right? Like that is like literally their livelihood and like their lives. So it's like a slightly different dynamic. It's got to be.
Yeah, that's true. And they all want to have their own program that probably stands out in certain ways. So exactly. You might not want to tell all your secrets of what makes your program amazing. Yeah. Well, I know you guys just wrapped, so I don't want to keep you too long, but what is next for the podcast? A break is good. So, I mean, you know, you've been going strong, but there sounds like there are some, I did peek to listen to the last episode that you guys did, and I know there's some changes on the horizon coming, but what are your kind of next plans for the podcast?
Well, I mean, like I said, I just moved to San Francisco. I just graduated. And so thank you. I'm hoping to have a big girl job here shortly. And like Erin said, she is expecting her baby soon. So we're kind of just playing it by ear and just kind of just, you know, I mean, we both enjoyed it so much. So we told our listeners it's not a goodbye, just to see you later.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to kind of see what happens.
Get settled and, you know, well, I mean, people have 25 episodes to listen to. If they're new to the podcast, there's plenty of time to catch up and be ready for when you guys launch again. Being patient, because I remember I used to be so not paranoid, but kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, we haven't put something out and it's been like 4 weeks, like people are going to stop listening and not, you know, just all this panic around like taking a break. And I don't know where the hell I got that from. I mean, everybody will be here. So take whatever time that you need. They'll be super excited when you come back and don't be paranoid for no reason like I was. I definitely don't know where that came from.
But yeah, we kind of had the same thing happen when we had a lot going on, like around the holidays, we took a little break and, you know, and
we're like, will people come back?
But I have to say, Makiba, that when you guys first launched Pro Chair Podcast, I honestly wasn't really, I didn't listen to podcasts. And I want to say your podcast was probably the first podcast I ever listened to. And so you brought that earlier about podcasting. And I was like, wait, I think, because I remember hearing about either some of the girls on the team listening to it. I can't remember which was the first episode I listened to, but I had to throw that out there. That
oh my gosh, that's looked awesome. Up to you. Thank you, because we didn't know what the heck we were doing. No, that's really fun. Especially the early seasons, I swear. I mean, we would look at downloads, like, we obviously don't know who's doing it or who's listening. Yeah. And no matter what those numbers said, we'd feel like nobody's listening and nobody's, you know what I mean? You just kind of are in your own head about it. But that's really touching. I'm not a podcast person either. And again, like I said, just I will listen to other cheerleaders in this space who have a podcast because it's just, it's the content that I would find interesting, can relate to. And I just applaud you guys for getting through, like, you know, it's a lot. Like, I hope people appreciate and recognize the work that goes into it and the coordination, and it takes over your life a little bit, right?
Yes, I have to hand it to our interns. We actually hired two interns throughout the middle of the season, and they helped us out so much with
editing
and our social media. So they were a huge help.
Yeah, they were definitely really great little blessings in our journey. So
I hope that. Well, you guys have inspired me, because it's something that I definitely, even from our last episode we did together, I was just like, I need to get on that. Like, I mean, just help in general. Like, I love that you guys have two great, I forget their names. Tell me their names.
Sophia and Madison.
There we go.
Our rookie season interns.
Well, shout out to them, because it is a valuable contribution. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with me with this one woman show concept, but you guys have inspired me to reach out and touch somebody and find some help. Yeah. But before I let you go, I thought, instead of drop it like it's hot, I could pull something that Brittany and I did for we called it our cheerversary 1 year out of doing the podcast. How well do you know your co-host? So I'm going to, we had little like dry erase boards, but nobody has like, you know, time for that. So you'll each get a chance to answer, and you can verify whether your co-host really knows you or not. So we're testing your friendship.
I apologize if I get anything wrong.
In advance. Friendship over.
You guys have to stay friends after, but
yeah, that's
it was really enlightening when Brittany and I did it, and it was like live on camera. So I'm like, what did you just say? Anyway, but you guys ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
We'll start off slow. What is the other's full name? So that's middle name included.
It's so funny because I know, and I was like, for a moment, I was like, panicking. What's her name?
No. Okay. Jordan Eileen Thomas.
Yes, that's easy because I have my whole
middle name on Zoom.
That's my Instagram. Okay, but here's the hard part, because you abbreviate yours, and so I'm scared that I'm gonna get it wrong. But Aaron Margaret. Yes. Hardy.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was like, okay, Margs, but I'm like, I know it's Margaret, but I don't know why I'm second guessing it. Aaron Margaret Hardy.
Yeah. Awesome. I love the way you sang that out. I'm going to keep that in there.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you've heard me complain about how I have the whitest name on the planet, right? It's like, it's not going to be Aaron Margarita, because that would add me a little, give me a little spice.
I don't know what I was thinking, but
yeah.
All right, check.
All right, we're doing good. I should keep score, but well, everybody gets a point. Oh, I literally am going to keep score now. Okay, hold on, just in case. Yes. All right, another little easy one. Favorite color?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's kind of a hard one for you.
I feel like it's a hard one for you.
Oh, no.
Maybe like top two, maybe?
If you get one of them right, then we'll count that. I don't know why I became a game show host all of a sudden. We'll keep
it. This is so fun. I love this.
Yeah.
You can go first.
I mean, like, what comes to mind is, like, you know, like, millennial pink. Like, a pink situation. Because I know we were just talking about that. And it's been, like, in your room color scheme for a long time.
Yeah. It kind of changes. Like, honestly.
Right.
That's right. Like, yeah, it might be a hard one for you. Because I feel like... Sure, we'll take that.
We'll take that. Well, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Some days it's yellow, some days it's purple, but pink has always been, it's been a favorite, so.
Okay. Okay, good.
Okay. I want to say blue, but I feel like I'm wrong.
Well, it's kind of hard cuz like my favorite color I never wear and I don't design anything around it. So and like
okay, wait. Okay. Is it
these are hints because like unless you've like explicitly asked me I don't know if you would even know, so this, you know, I'm not gonna take it personally if you don't get
okay.
it.
Okay. Is it purple?
It's close. Burgundy, like a dark red is like my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with that. Okay. Learn something new every day.
we're giving her a point.
Yeah. Why not?
You were so sweet. Burgundy, purple, same thing.
Same thing. I'm like, not exactly, but okay.
I don't have a prize for whoever wins, so we're just having fun. Okay. Favorite season of the year?
Ooh, I know yours.
Yours is summer.
Yeah. Yours is fall.
Yeah.
See, there we go.
That was quick. Right. That was good.
We're getting warmed up. Yeah. These are just the first couple questions. Okay.
I don't know why I'm like sweating. I'm nervous.
I know the color one was tough.
Really got you.
All right, let's see. If you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? Do you know that answer for either one?
Like,
I mean, I guess it's like favorite food, but you know.
Yeah.
Your go-to gotta have it food.
Honestly. I mean, we're just talking today about tacos.
I was going to say, we were literally just talking about this.
So I would say tacos or like Taco Bell, because I feel like that's like what you like, just like you get mad at, like, because you want it like out of nowhere. I feel like you're like, I need to just go get Taco Bell. Bye. So I would say tacos.
Yeah, it's definitely tacos.
Okay.
Okay, can I pick a condiment? Because I feel like you love everything, but ranch.
Right.
But ranch, like ranch. Okay.
Anything. Was that in your bio on Instagram? Where's past ranch? Where's the ranch?
Yes, she loves ranch. She literally will eat it with everything. So I feel like that, like if Erin had to pick something to eat for the rest of her life, it would be ranch.
Anything that's like a vessel. Yeah. Anything that's a vessel for ranch and salt. You know, a safe answer would be like French fries or like chicken fingers.
I was going to say nuggets. Or pizza. Like I feel like we've had a lot of pizza together.
For sure. Yes. I love it. You guys are doing really good. You're doing better than I think Brittany and I were doing. Oh. Okay. Favorite musical artist.
I feel like this is one that changes a lot for Jordan.
Yeah, I know. I'm like thinking of my answer and your answer at the same time, and I'm thinking they're both going to be hard.
As of late, it could be like who you're really into now. Mm-hmm. We need to narrow it probably a little bit.
Yeah. Erin and I have a very different, I feel like we like similar songs, but I feel like our everyday like playlists are very different.
Different?
Very different. What did you say?
Yeah, I would say we bring different things to each other's playlists.
Right.
Typically, like we like, oh, that's nice. And then like, you know, we'll do a switch of songs.
This is a hard one.
I know. I don't even know. Why do I want to say J. Cole? I feel like that's wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe just the, maybe the just J. Just no, it's just, I think it's just the J for the Jordan.
Like, I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't know about J. Cole.
Well, we can skip that one, or you guys can both just say who your favorite is.
Yeah, maybe you go.
I guess, like, consistently, like, currently, right now, probably, like, Billie Eilish. Like, I know it's basic.
I was going to guess that.
I love her.
I don't even know if you listen to her, but, like, I was going to guess, like, Lana Del Rey.
You know, I had a moment, but, like, I just, yeah, she's kind of, I feel like she kind of, like, pushes a little too hard, like, her one thing.
I think we talked about this before.
Yeah. Well, what would you say for you?
Like you said, it's constantly changing, but I feel like a good solid answer would have been Drake.
Oh, I was going to say Drake. I really was going to say Drake. But then I'm like, why do I feel like it's not Drake and it's J. Cole?
Yeah, I don't know. The Weeknd or Post Malone would have been like three solid answers.
Okay.
You guys need to trust yourselves. You probably
almost
guess. Hopefully this will be a little easier. What's biggest fear?
Ooh, I kind of have one.
Ooh, what is it?
I know that when you found out you were having a boy, you were
just nervous about having a boy.
Nervous about having a boy. Yeah, so I was like, is this the biggest fear? Probably not. But you just talked about how, you know, raising boys in our society is...
it's daunting.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But I feel like as time has passed... I mean, you've always been ready, but I don't know what your biggest fear would be. This is tough.
I know. This one's hard, too.
I forget where we were on. I think it was literally like a matter of like spiders, lizards, like, you know, just kind of.
Okay. Maybe I'm getting too like.
Too deep. Yeah. No, I was going deep, too. I was like going into like.
Fear in life. You guys don't have to have phobias, though.
Yeah. I have like irrational fears that I feel like I've talked to you about. Oh, you know what? I do have, just for the record, my biggest fear, I think, is like becoming like paralyzed.
Oh.
Like because I've been so active and like independent, and you know, you just lose so much of that, like when that happens. So I think that would be my biggest fear.
Yeah. Yeah, I
gosh, even the thought of it definitely like took my made my face pale. Like, dang, you don't think about it often, but yeah, geez.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to just give you an easy answer, I really don't like snakes. I just can't. Like, I will hold a tarantula in my hand, and I snakes. Nope.
Mm-mm. So no.
Just a no.
Just noted.
See, you guys will come out of this even closer. Yeah, okay, let me see. One more. I'm gonna see. Well, I had a bunch of easy ones at the bottom. I don't know how that happened. Okay. Biggest pet peeve.
Jordan has a lot.
What? Wait, what?
Like, I don't know. Like, now I'm like, what do I even pick? Because I'm like,
this is tough.
I'm trying to remember how Brittany and I survived these questions then.
These are good questions.
Maybe this is exactly why we did so poorly. I think she got mine, though. But anyway, go ahead. I mean, if you can think of anything.
Don't hate me, Jordan, but I just
feel
like... I
know exactly what you're going to say.
I don't know if you... Well, maybe, but, like, I just think, like, Jordan, if we're in a car, like, Jordan just needs to be the one driving. Because she doesn't do well with other people driving. Yeah. Like, it's, like, almost, like, I don't know if it's, like, a control thing, but, like, especially on the freeway. Maybe that's just another place where we have different styles, so.
Okay. Yeah, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll put it that way. I feel like I just drive like a grandma, and.
Okay.
Everybody
I'm
else
confident,
does it.
And Erin's very confident in her driving. That's a good one. Oh. I thought you were going to say the nails, but.
Oh, I should have. Yeah. Well, that's more of like a, you're very particular about
my nails, and I wish I wasn't, but I'm the one in there like, can you just file them a little bit more? Like, but you're the one staring at them all the time, you know?
That's okay. Me.
I'm trying to think. Biggest pet peeve. Oh, I know. When people ask you, like, a question over and over again. Maybe I'm phrasing that wrong. Right? Wouldn't that... Like
they're not listening, or like they didn't hear me.
I'm trying to think. That was a bad one. Let me cut that out.
Honestly, I can only like think of one for myself. Really, that's like a true pet peeve. Because you don't have this issue, so I don't even know if I would have ever called you out on it. Because like
eating with your mouth open. I don't know if that's.
I mean, I feel like that's universal. That's like pet peeve.
One of our teammates, Kirsten, like just it.
Oh yeah,
drove her crazy.
Well, and then Kirsten would get on me because I always had a metal water bottle with ice in it, and she hated the clanking. I like cold water. But
what's your one thing?
My one thing is
it doesn't have to.
When people like, I know, when people just like mindlessly hum around me, like, and you know. My sister, who I live with now, and Simone, who was my roommate for a million years, are both really horrible culprits of it. And I just have to, like, it's like I'm not a mean or snappy person typically, but I just can't take it. I'm just like, stop. Because it won't even be like a real song. Like, it's just like, and it just drives me nuts. Yeah, like, and like, it drives me nuts.
Man, that was honestly, I don't think I ever would have ever gotten that one. I'm not a
hot one. That's a hard one. Like you said, unless there's a person annoying you.
Right, you wouldn't.
They wouldn't necessarily know. Okay, I had really crappy questions then. Mm-hmm. Let's see. These were the ones that we picked in our thing, but I probably should have picked the easier ones that were at the bottom. But no, I do appreciate you guys doing this. It was something that it kind of commemorated, like, you spend so much time together doing a podcast, whether you're like recording, editing, all of the things. So I felt like Brittany and I probably got to know each other like on a whole different level just from doing it together. So
totally.
You guys definitely still know each other pretty well. I stopped keeping score, but I think it's safe to say that you guys
it was kind of there for a little bit.
You guys learned something new about each other. But thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing the podcast with everybody and just your stories. Wherever you guys listen to your podcast, you can check out Breaking Formation. I seem to recall there's a website coming up pretty soon for you guys. I will link it in the show notes for people too to check out.
We just launched it, thanks to our interns and their
congrats
help. Yes, we're so excited. Yeah, breakingformation.com.
And you can actually listen to all of the episodes there for a one-stop shop. And then it gives us, we have little bios of all of our guests and ourselves. And it's kind of a nice little way to wrap up our season was launching that website.
That's awesome.
We didn't actually mention that I want to mention is that we actually had our friend Caitlin. We were all three really good friends while on the Gold Rush together. And she kind of helped us co-host. We called it the Positivity Corner, and so that was like our little session that we did with Caitlin. And so whenever you see Positivity Corner in the title, that's when you know it's with Caitlin.
I actually was gonna bring that up as one of like my favorite things about the podcast too, is just like that dynamic, because she just like added so much to our conversations. And you know, we would get listeners messaging us saying like, you can tell how close you guys are, and it's just like, it was like a good balance with all three of us when we would do episodes together. So that was definitely a really fun part of our
nice. Well, you guys definitely go check out the podcast and support each other. I just love that you guys were willing to come on and that you had me on, and I just think it's just great that we can connect in this way. It does feel like from listening that you know people. So I don't know. I feel like I know you both, and even better after today. So I thank you guys for joining. I kept you a little longer, but
no, that's totally.
I enjoyed every minute.
Hopefully we can have our Breaking Formation meetup with all of the season one guests. That hopefully one day when it's all.
Oh no. That would be nice. Well, you interview people from all over a little bit too.
Yeah.
But we've like honestly mentioned it on every episode. So they're well aware, like it's like in the works, you know?
And yeah.
We want to make it happen. So we hope like we can get at least like a good amount of people coming through.
That would be awesome. And I get to come, actually. I was just like, I'm going to go. Yes. I'm like, duh.
Yes.
Duh.
Yes. You have to come.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks for having us. Thank you. This was so much fun. I love the little game at the end.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry if the questions were too hard, but no, I enjoyed
it. Awesome. Fun. No, it was fun. I felt like we were all just hanging out.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.